Today's daf is Erev in daf Yud Dalet. We left off in daf Yud Gimel and Beis at the Mishnah. The three basic topics of today's daf is first we're going to discuss the requirements of a korah that's used over the entrance of Mavoi, both in terms of the size of the korah as well as the strength of the korah. In that context, we're going to discuss different types of unusual kinds of beams. The Gemara is then going to discuss second topic is the chiddush of each unusually shaped korah mentioned in the Mishnah. And in that context, we discuss the source for the idea that pi equals 3 in halacha. It's really 3.14. Etc. But we'll get to that, which in turn leads to a detailed discussion of the Yam Shel Shlomo, the pool that Shlomo built in his palace, which serves as the source of pi equaling 3. The Mishnah on Amud Beis, the last discussion of the daf, is going to discuss how large a lechi has to be, and that leads the Gemara into a discussion of whether we generally paskin like Rabbi Yossi when the Rabbanan argue on him. Often the common practice will determine what the halacha should be, and the Gemara will give a few examples of how the common practice determines the halacha. But just a couple of things on we just ran through at the very end yesterday, probably one of the more well-known Gemaras in the entire Masechta of Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chaim, the Nechuku Beisham Beisila, that even though Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chaim, the Halacha is like Beisila, and how they had a machlokas about it, it's better for a person to have been born, not to have been born. So just on the concept of Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chaim, the Tosra Ben Peretz asked the Kasha, how that could be. How could you possibly say if something is usher, it's not mutter, and if something is mutter, it's not usher. How does that possibly work? So Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz quotes from the Tosus Rabbeinu Yechiel that you could explain based on the Medrash Shachar Tov in Tehillim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah with Arba'im V'tish Apanim Tahar, Arba'im V'tish Apanim Tamei. He taught him 49 ways that each item could be Tahar and 49 ways it could be Tamei. Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, it's good, so what am I supposed to do? I mean, at the end of the day, I have to act in a certain way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him, follow the Rov Chachmei Adar. If Rov of them are Maskim Laheter, so it's Mutter. So it seems that all of the Shitos are Divrei Elokim Chaim, in that they were all taught to Moshe Rabbeinu as part of Torah. Eil Veil Divrei Elokim Chaim is a rule in Torah. It is not a rule in Halacha. In Halacha, you have to follow one Shita over the other. And it's not Eil Veil Divrei Elokim Chaim. It's only Eil Veil Divrei Elokim Chaim in the world of Torah. Is this in fact the word of God? Is this in fact Talmud Torah? As Rav Shach likes to put it, are we mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah when we learn Shitas Beishamai? Yes, that's what Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chaim accomplishes for us. The Ritva quotes that same idea from the Rabbeinu Tzarfas, and he says that it's Nachon B'derech HaDrash, but B'derech HaEmes, there is another reason. And B'derech HaEmes, apparently Kabbalistically, there's some deeper reason. Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz also says that it's still Tzaruch Bir, but when you have a machlokas, let's say, not about Tamei Tahar Mutar Aser, let's say you have a machlokas about a Metzias, about how big was the Mizbeach. So what do you mean, Eil Veil Divrei Elokim Chaim? Sof, the Mizbeach was as big as it was, so it wasn't a different size. So how could you say Eil Veil Divrei Elokim Chaim is something like that? So he says, in that kind of context, you'd have to say that Eil Veil Divrei Elokim Chaim means that they could both be justified within the Psukim, that both Shitos could technically be justified within the Torah, even though in Achinami, one of them actually was practiced and the other one was not. Rashi in Maseches Ksubos and Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph says that in Achinami, whenever you have a machlokas in Metzius, you can't say Eilu Veil Divrei Elokim Chaim. If you have a machlokas in a later generation about what a Tana had said in an earlier generation, or what an earlier generation of Amoraim had said, what did this person say? So when they're arguing about what someone said, so he either said A or he said B. He didn't say both. So we would not say Eilu Veil Divrei Elokim Chaim. We would say that somebody's wrong in such a machlokas. Good, so that's the basic idea of Eilu Veil Divrei Elokim Chaim. Now the Gemara went on saying, now why was Beisil Zochet of the Halacha Kamosan? Because Nochen Va'aluvin Hayu, they're very easygoing. So the Beis Yosef writes that you shouldn't wonder, what, just because they were humble and they always said Beishamai's Shitas first, so the Halacha is going to change? Meaning, of course, we'd like for nice guys to finish first, but it doesn't always mean that nice guys are right. So why is the halacha changed just based on the anivus of the base of the Beis Hillel? So he says what you see from there is that as a result of their anava, they were zocha to be mechavin to the emes. It wasn't stam that they were nice. Being nice, being humble, is what allowed them the zuchus of being mechavin to the emes. The Maral and Beragol explains that since they're nochen va'aluvin, so whenever they had an argument, there was no sense of of feeling a need to be right. Everything was just based on emes. Since they were so humble, there's no sense that they had to prove that they were right. They had to prove that their point of view was a valid point of view and that the other point of view wasn't. They just wanted to get the emes, and that's why they got the emes, because that was their kavana the entire time. The Gemara went on to say that Nimnu v'Gamru, where they had this machlokas about Noach lo Lodim Shenivra or Noach lo Shalom Nivra, what's better? So they came to the conclusion that a person would be better off Shalom Nivra Yosu Mishenivra. But no, once you're Nivra, what can you do? You got to be Yafashish Masav, Yamashish Masav. So the Marsha writes that Lechora, it's difficult to understand what the Gemara is talking about over here. What are they arguing about? And also, Yoser Mishenivra, Yoser Mishalom Nivra. What's wrong with just saying Noach lo adam shenivra mishalom nivra? What's yoser mishalom nivra? Or shalom nivra mishenivra? Why is it yoser? What's the loss from yoser? And he also says, from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, doesn't that prove, if God put me in this world, doesn't that prove that it's better for me to be here? Because that's what God decided to do. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it, doesn't that make it right? And also, the loss of achshav that he's nivra, yifashvish b'masav, you could l'chora just say, Mikayim mitzvos haTorah. What do you mean, yifashish b'masav? Do the mitzvos. You're here, so do Torah mitzvos. So the Marsha explains that since there's two chalakim in the Torah, there's asay and los asay. Had a person not been created, then the chelik halavim would be mekuyam in a higher degree than they are once a person is created. Meaning, a los asay is don't do. If the person were not here, he wouldn't be doing anything, any averos. Now one is bound over the course of his life, now that he is here, to actually be doing some averos. So Mishanivra, once he's created, maybe he's not going to be zochi, he's going to violate some lavin, and he's going to lose out by being created. Now, as far as mitzvah seir are concerned, then the opposite is true. Had he not been created, he definitely would not have been mekayim any mitzvah sasei. Now that he's created, he's able to fulfill all these mitzvah sasei. Says Marsha, that's what they're arguing about. That Tovlo Shalom Nivra Machmas Halavim, it's better, in terms from a lo sase perspective, better to have never been created, because he might be losing more by having been created and violating all these lavin, even though he's being mekayim mitzvah sase, but it could be yatzah scharo b'efseda with all the lavin that he's violating. And the other sheet is, no, better for him to be here, because the mitzvah sase are going to outweigh the mitzvah lo sase. So, and then in the end, they decided, nimnu v'gamru, that they counted up the esim versus the lavim, and they saw that there are 365 los assays and 248 assays, that there are many more lavim than there are assays, and therefore they were maskim that from a person's from the perspective of assay versus los assay, it's noach lo nivra, because you're karov lehefsid more than you are tischar, because there are so many more pitfalls than there are opportunities to do good. So that's why we say, but now that you're nivra, yifashish b'masav, that's the essence. Yifashish b'masav, do assays, do as many as you can. So it's not enough to just be sur mira. You have to do as much good as possible to outweigh any potential los assays. So Marsha says that since the reason of the bria is l'kavod ha'makom, it's to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the lavim are not from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nos in the Torah, it's really the primary mitzvah is the amuna, the mitzvah amuna anochi Hashem elkecha. That comes before any lav, before lo yelcha, and therefore all the mitzvahs, both the lav and the assays, are included in the anochi and lo yelcha. Meaning he says, yeah, lo yelcha represents the los assays in the Torah, anochi represents the assays in the Torah. Anochi comes first, because it's primarily to give kavod ha'makom, even though in terms of numbers, lo yelcha, there are more los assays than there are assays. Okay, we just couldn't go on without saying something about those discussions of yesterday. So let's move on now. We're at the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Karasha Amru, when we say that there's a beam over the Mavoi, so what are the halachas of this beam? Rechava kedei lekabel ariach, v'ariach chatzi levena shel shoshet tvachim. The beam is supposed to be wide enough that it could hold a brick, an ariach brick. How big is an ariach brick? It's half the size of a levena brick. A levena brick is 3 tvachim, so an ariach brick is 1.5 tvachim. These are discussions at the beginning of Maseches Baba Basra, when we discuss the different types of walls between chatzeros and all the different types of bricks. So an ariach is 1.5 tefachim. The beam over the chatzer has to be wide enough in order to hold a 1.5 tefach brick. Now the beam only needs to actually be one tefach wide in order to hold the 1.5 tefach brick along the width of the beam. So the Gemara is obviously going to raise the question, how does a one tefach beam hold a 1.5 tefach brick? It sounds like the brick has to fit on the beam itself, and obviously there will be some of the brick that's off the beam if it's a half a tefach wider. Rechava kedei lekabel ariach uvria kedei lekabel ariach. Tanakama holds that it not only needs to be wide enough to hold the brick, the kora also needs to be strong enough to hold the brick. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rechava Afal Pisha in Bria. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it only needs to be wide enough to hold the brick. It does not need to be strong enough to hold the brick. It doesn't need to be secure enough that a brick could actually sit on it. Haisa Shel Kashva Shel Kanim. If the kora was made out of straw or reeds, Rona Sekilu Yishal Natechas, we view it as if it were made out of metal. Now this is obviously, Rashi points out, Rabbi Yehuda talking. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that it didn't have to be strong enough to hold a brick. So it could be made out of straw, out of reeds, out of anything. It doesn't have to be strong enough to hold a brick. Akuma Rona Sekilu Yipshuta, if it's bent and therefore a brick couldn't stand on it because it would just fall right off, it would slide right off because it's bent, so then we view it as if it were straight, meaning it doesn't have to physically be able to hold a brick. Agula rona sakilu himruvas. And if it were round, and therefore a brick wouldn't sit on it, it would roll right off, so then you view it as if it were square, meaning as long as it's the right size, it doesn't matter what shape it's in, as long as it's the right size, that had it been squared off, it would be able to hold a brick. That's good enough for a kora. Kol sheyesh be'kefer shosh tefachim, yesh be'rochav tefach. That's the rule of pi. Anytime you have a circumference of 3 tefachim, you could assume a diameter of 1 tefach. So now, let's analyze. Says the Gemara, tefach u'mechzabai. What do you mean that the kora only needs to be 1 tefach? We said that it has to be wide enough to hold a brick that's 1.5 tefachim. So shouldn't the kora itself need to be 1.5 tefachim? And so Gemara, given the rach of lekabel tefach, ida chati tefach, malbel nebetina mashu mehagisa, umashu mehagisa v'kaima. That since it's 1 tefach wide, so the other half of tefach, you could put a little bit of cement on either side to hold the brick onto the beam. So it's a quarter of a tefach of cement on either side that holds it on, and therefore it fits perfectly. A 1.5 tefach brick will fit perfectly over a 1 tefach beam when you account for the quarter of a tefach of cement that will hold it in place. Amar Rabba Barav Huna, Korosha Amar, the kora itself has to be strong enough to hold a brick. Again, that was the sheet of the Tanakama in the Mishnah. Rabbi Rav Huna adds that if you assume like the Tanakama, uma amide kora einan tzrichin shiubrin kedei lekabel kora v'ariach, that even though the kora does need to be strong enough to hold a brick, that which supports the kora doesn't actually need to be strong enough to support both a kora and a brick. Meaning the beam itself has to be something that's not made out of straw. It has to be able to be something that could hold a brick on it. But when the beam is placed on a weak support, it's not going to be able to hold the brick because the whole support will come crumbling down. That's okay. That doesn't matter. We don't have to actually practically be able to put a brick on the beam as it's currently standing. It's just a shear in the strength of the beam, in the relative strength of the beam itself. But it's not a din that you need to practically actually be able to put a brick on it. Rav Chista Amar, Rav Chista disagrees. He says, Echad zeh v'echad zeh, tzrichin shiubrim kedei lekabel korav ariach. That it needs to be strong enough, meaning you need to actually be able to put a brick on it, which means that the supports for the beam also need to be strong enough to put a brick on it. Amar Rav Sheshes, hiniach koral gabe mavui. If a person puts a beam over a mavoi, and then he puts a mat over that beam, and the mat doesn't reach all the way down to the floor, the mat forms like a mechitza, but it doesn't reach all the way down to the floor, it's 3 tfachim off of the ground level. So then you have a problem, because kora ein kan, mechitza ein kan. You don't have a valid kora, nor do you have a valid mechitza at the opening of that mavoi. You will not be allowed to carry that mavoi. Why don't you have a valid kora? Kora ein kan da mechas. You don't have a valid kora because it's covered up. The kora apparently is mishum heker, and it doesn't serve as a good heker if it's completely covered up. So you don't have a valid kora because it's covered up. Mechitza in kan, davila mechitza shakadim bokenba. You also don't have a valid mechitza because because the mechitza is one that that a goat could walk right underneath, and therefore even though most of that side is partitioned off, but since the bottom three tefachim are not partitioned off, that ruins the entire thing, because animals could just walk right through. We have discussions whether dugim bokenbo makes a difference, but kediyim bokenbo definitely makes a difference, that it's not going to be good if an animal could walk right underneath it. Tan rabbanan. So the Gemara now, the Braisa goes on to discuss three unusual types of beams and what the halacha is in each case of these three unusual types of beams. So the first unusual type of beam is a korah that comes out of, extends from one wall but doesn't quite reach to the other side. Or v'chein shtei koros achas yotzes mikosel zeh v'achas yotzes mikosel zeh v'enu noga zu b'zu. Or you have two koros, one that comes out from each side wall of the mavui, but they don't reach each other in the middle. They don't actually get to form a single korah. So is that okay? So the halacha is, it all depends on lavud. Pachos mishlosha ein tzarech lavi korah acheres, shlosha tzarech lavi korah acheres. That if the gap is less than three tefachim, so fine, then you say lavud, it's no problem, you don't need another beam to fill in that gap. But if the gap is more than three tefachim, so then you do need another beam to come and fill in that gap. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Pachos midalid ein tzarech lavi korah acheres, arba tzarech lavi korah acheres. That it's not based on three tvachim, it's based on four tvachim. That the shear of lavud is four tvachim, it's not three tvachim. V'chein beis koros hamatimos. And the same is true if you have two koros that are matimos, lo bezukadit, meaning two koros that are twin koros that are right next to each other. This is case number two of the Braisa. Two thin beams. Each of them are not lo bezuka de lekabel ariach, v'lo bezuka de lekabel ariach. Neither of these thin beams is wide enough to be able to hold a brick. In mekablus ariach lerachvo tefach, ein tzarech lavi korah acheres. V'im lav, tzarech lavi korah acheres. So the halacha is that as long as they're a tefach wide together, and together therefore they can hold a brick, so that's perfectly fine. You don't need to bring another beam. That would work wonderfully. But if they are not one tefach wide together, then you do need to bring another beam. They are invalid. Rav Shimon Liel Omer in mekabelus ariach laorcho shlosha ain tzarech lavi korah acheres v'im lav tzarech lavi korah acheres. Rav Shimon Liel says no, you don't need them to when they're pressed up against each other, they don't need to be a tefach, meaning they don't have to be a half a tefach each. If they're thin enough that if together you can put them, you can space them in a way where you could take the length of a brick, a three tefach long brick, and it could support the length of a three tefach brick by being spaced properly, that's good enough. That would be a valid beam when you have these two twin beams, even though together they don't equal... They don't equal one full tefach. That is case number two of the Braisa. Now, Rav Shimon Liel himself, exactly what he means by this. So I gave how Rashi understands. But what does Rav Shimon Liel exactly mean when he says that a mekabel sariach la'orcho shlosha in tzarech lavi korah acheres is actually a machlokas rishonim? There are three, four different shitos as to what he means. But let's stick with that one. It's the simplest way to read the Gemara. So says the Gemara now the Braisa, case number three. Hayu achas l'mala v'achas l'mala. Let's say you had one beam, they weren't on the same level as each other. One of them was higher up and one of them was lower down. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ro'enes ha'elyono kilu hilamata, v'satachtono kilu hilamala. We view the upper beam as if it were lower and the lower beam as if it were higher. They meet somewhere in between. We view them as if they are next to each other. And then you go see case number two for what the halacha is if they're next to each other. So, right, we said in case number two that according to the Tanakhama, if they're next to each other, as long as they equal one tefach, it's good enough. But they don't have to be on par. They don't have to be parallel with each other. Obavad shalote elyona l'malam mechafama v'tachton l'matam yasara. Provided that the upper beam is not more than 10 amos off the ground, nor is the lower beam lower than ten tefachim from the ground. As long as you have that, then it's fine. As long as they're both within the range that a beam is supposed to be, then they don't have to be even with each other. You can have one of them that's higher, and one of them that is lower. The Mishnah Maseches Sukkah on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph says that a sukkah hamiduvleles is kosher. So what is a sukkah mitvlelas? So that is a sukkah where some of the pieces of schach are higher and some of them are lower. They are not of equal height. And then over there says that the reeds of schach are mitzarif to each other through lovehood, as long as when it's less than three tefachim in between them. When there's more than three tefachim in between them, then they're mitzarif through the mechanism called chavut rami, that you view the kanim that are on top as if they are lower down, as if they're mushlach lamata, as if they're thrown down onto the lower level. So that's only when they are one tefach wide that we say chavut rami. We don't say chavut rami when they're less than a tefach. So the Gemara asks from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda that we're mitzarif koros of a mavoi when one is very high and one is very low, ali de chavut rami, even though obviously the case of the two koros is not where they're a tefach, because if they were a tefach wide, you wouldn't need to be mitzarif them, because then they would be fine on their own. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is talking about that the koros are smucha zulazu b'toch shlosha, and they're mitzarif ali de lavad. Our Gemara doesn't have that whole conversation. You can't see that from our Gemara, that they're within three tefachim. Just as achas lamala of the achas lamata. In fact, one could have gotten the impression from our Gemara when it says that this last line of obulvad shalote elyon lamala mechafama v'tachton lamata measara, that you just can't have both the Elyon and Lamala Mechaf and Tachton and Lamata Miyud, which would mean they're like 20 amos apart from each other, 19 amos apart from each other. But no, that's not what it means. You have to say, the Rishonim say, Rabbi Yosef reviewed this dafka when there's less than three tefachim between the karos, and therefore, when we say this last line, it means you could have neither the higher one above 20 amos, even if the lower one is at 19.9 amos, nor the lower one above 10 tefachim, even though the higher one may be at 11 tefachim. Now the Rambam, in the 17th paragraph of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Chafhei, the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, Ha'isa'achas l'mala v'achas l'mata, ro'enes ha'elyonu kilu l'mata v'atachtonu kilu l'mala, ubulvad shelo tia elyonu l'mala me'asrim v'lo tachtonu l'mata me'asara, v'lo yiyah b'ne. He adds that qualification that it needs to be within three tefachim of each other. So the Magen Mishnah points out that it's mashma from the Rambam that the koros are mitzarif if there's if from side to side they're less than three tefachim. Even if he said the way he understands the Rambam is when he says im lo yeh beinehen shlosh tefachim. Beinehen normally is a side to side measurement, not a high low measurement. So he says the Rambam makes it sound like that in terms of height they can be more than three tefachim apart from each other. And he asks, but that's against the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says we don't say chavut rami when there's when they don't have a tefach. So when each one is less than a tefach, we could only use lavud, and lavud only works if they're within three tefachim of height from each other. So and then the Ram himself paskins that way in Hilchos Sukkah in Perakei Halacha Chaf Aleph. So that's the kasha that the Magen Mishnah asks in the Rambam. Why does he only talk about beinehen shlosh tefachim and not talk about the height of three tefachim also being critical, that they be within three tefachim of each other? So the Kesmisha says probably was pashup pshat when he says v'lo yibenein shlosh tefachim, he means in any which direction, that there can't be three tefachim in it, whether it be side to side, whether it be top bottom, doesn't matter. The Rambam means to be kolel all of that in his lashon. Kesmisha also explains that the Rambam may be machshir when one of them is higher than three tefachim above the other one, and he'll say that when the Gemara in Sukkah tells us like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is talking only when they're within three tefachim of each other, the Gemara was just looking for the path of least resistance. The Gemara was coming up with an ukimta, a way to answer the kasha that the Gemara raised over there. But maybe aliba de emes, a korah that's only there for a heker, maybe we would say chavad rami even if it's pachos mitefach. Maybe we could say chavad rami even if it's less than a tefach wide. It's only there as a heker. We're not working with dine mechitza. By Sukkah you have to satisfy all of dine mechitza. So maybe for dine mechitza you're only going to say chavut rami if each beam is a tefach wide. But maybe for dine heker you don't need each beam to be a tefach wide in order to say chavut rami. The stipler in Kiddush Yaakov and Siman Zayin says a different approach for the rami. He explains the rami as follows. He says, according to the sheet that Koros Mishum Heker, you don't need chavut rami at all, or lavud, in order to be makshir when one is the mala, one is the mata. As long as a person sees that there's a tefach wide of stuff above him, so there creates a heker. Only according to the mandiyam rishu mechitza, the inyan of mechitza is pitikri yori v'sosim. In order to say that, you have to say that you have a width of a tefach together in order to say Pitikri Yard Visosim, in order to for Pitikri Yard Visosim to kick in. So you have to say Chavut Olavud in order to misarif the Koros and the Gag at the width of Tefach. In Mesecha Sukkah, where Rav Kana says you have to have Achas Amal of Achas Amata when it's less than three Tefachim, because there's no Chavut Rami with less than a Tefach, Rav Kahana says that Lashitaso, because he holds Karamisha Mechitza. We had Rav Kana and Dav Ches that he holds Karamisha Mechitza. The Rambam Paskins, though, Karas Mishum Heker, and therefore he has no such requirement that Chavut Olavud, he doesn't need any of those dinim to kick in. He just needs it to be a Heker, and it is a Heker. That's all the Rambam requires. Good, so that's the explanation that the various Achronim have for the Rambam. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Abai, Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda says that we view the top one as if it's the mata, the bottom one as if it's above, that we view them as if they're next to each other, Savla Kavua Bechada, Upalagale Bechada. He partially agrees with his father, and he partially disagrees with his father. Savla Kavua Bechada Dislay Rowin. He agrees with his father that we apply the concept of Rowin, that meaning Rabbi Yehuda was the one in our Mishnah when we had a beam that was made out of, that was round. Rabbi Yehuda's the one that said, view Rowin. Rowin ki'ilu it's square. If it's made out of straw, rowin ki'ilu it's made out of metal. So Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, holds like Rabbi Yehuda that we could apply rowin. We can use our imaginations. Upalagale b'chada, but he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda on one point. Did Rabbi Yehuda savar l'malam me'asim? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda savar b'tochaf in l'malam me'chaf lo. That Rabbi Yehuda would say only if it's higher than that Rabbi Yehuda holds l'malam me'asim. We would say Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says no. We would not say this for Lamala Me'asrim, we would only say when it's with it, meaning not say Rowan, but just in general about having a beam, Lamala Me'asrim. The first mission of the Masechta said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to have a beam that's more than 20 amos off the ground. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda would not hold that way. As we see, he says, I'll apply Rowan and these beams will be okay as long as neither of them is more than 20 amos off the ground. So you see, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the Tanakama Shita at the beginning of the Masechta that a beam, a kara over a mavoi, cannot be more than 20 amos off the ground. Good. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rechav Af Pishen Abriya. So he said Rabbi Yehuda holds that it has has to be wide enough. The beam has to be a tefach wide, but Af Pishen Abriya does not need to be strong enough to hold a brick. So Master Rabbi Yehuda L'chia Barav Kamed Rav Rachla Af Pishen Abriya Amalei Asni Rechav Ubriya. So he said no, you should teach it that it should be Rechav Ubriya, that it has to be both wide enough and strong enough. But didn't Rav tell us that if it's four tefachim wide, it does not actually need to be strong enough to hold a brick? So you see that it doesn't need to be strong enough, it just needs to be wide enough. So he says, yeah, Rechav Arba'a, shiny. When it's actually four tefachim wide, that's different. When it's four tefachim wide, then it doesn't need to be strong enough. But when you just have a one tefach wide beam, like a normal beam, then it does have to be strong enough to be able to practically hold a brick. Haisa shel kash. If it was made out of kash, if it was made out of straw. So we said Rabbi Yehuda holds that you could view it as if it were made out of metal. My kamashman damrinan rowin hainu haf. What do you mean? He already said that. He already said it doesn't need to be strong enough to hold the brick. So what's he adding when he says if it's made out of kash, we view it as if it's made out of metal? You already said that halacha. So mal detema b'mina amrinan shelo b'mina lo amrinan kamashman. I might have thought that it at least needs to be made out of a material that could sometimes be strong enough to hold the brick. But if it's made out of straw, straw is never strong enough to hold the brick, and therefore it would not be good. Akuma rona sakilu pshuta. If it's bent, we view it as if it's straight. So pshita, so of course we view it as if it's straight. What would be the problem? It doesn't, if you hold it, doesn't practically have to hold a brick. So of course you'll say rowin over here as well. So kamash malon kid Rabbi Zeira, dam Rabbi Zeira, he betoch hamavoi, va'akmumisa chutz lamavoi, he betoch esrim, va'akmumisa lamala me'asrim, he lamala me'asara, va'akmumisa lamata me'asara, rowin kol shilu yinat lakmumisa, ve'ein bein zel azeh, shlosha, ein sarach lavi kara acheres. That if part of the beam that's bent is bent in a puzzle area above 20 amos, below 10 tfa, tefachim, beyond the length of the mavoi, it still could be good enough. You view it as if the bend were taken away, and whether it would be good in that situation, and if it is, then it's perfectly fine. Vim lav, sarach lavi kara charis. Otherwise, you do need to bring another kara. So says Gemara, hanami pshita, he betok mavoi vakumis. That's also obvious that if part of it is above 20 amos, part of it is below 10 tefachim, that you could view that part as if it's not there. So says Marno, he betok mavoi vakumisa chutzl mavoi yitzrichalai. Even though the chiddush is that if part of it is in the mavoi and part of it's outside of the mavoi, mal de tei melech shul masalam shukri basra kamashmon. I might think that you might come to go all the way up until the surface of that beam, and part of that beam is actually beyond the entranceway of the mavoi. Meaning, you picture the mavoi comes to an end with two walls, and instead of the beam just running across the end, it runs across the end, then juts out and comes back in and runs across the end. So where it juts out, a person might walk all the way out there, all the way to where the beam sticks out, all the way to where it protrudes outside of the mavoi. So that's a chiddush to tell me that we're not worried about that. Kamash Milan, it comes to tell me no such concerns, that as long as the area that it juts out, if that were missing, it would be less than a 3 tefach gap in the kora, that would be fine, because that was the brisa we had earlier in the daf, that you could have two koras, that one comes out of this side, the other comes out of this side, and they don't meet in the middle. As long as there's less than 3 tefachim in between them, that's perfectly fine. We would say lavud. Agula rona sekiluhim ruvas. So he said, if it's round, we view it as if it were squared off. So says Mara Sulamali, say, what do you need to tell me that? We already told me all of the rowans, so why do you have to tell me Agula? We view it as if it's Meruvaas, it's obvious. Says Mara Seifa Tzrichle. The Chiddush is the Seifa, which is that it teaches me pi. That any time you have a circumference of 3 tefachim, there is an assumed diameter of 1 tefach. That is the chiddush of the Mishnah. Says Gemara, Minani Mili, where do we know that from? How do I know that if it's 1 tefach, if it's 3 tefachim of circumference, that there's 1 tefach of diameter? Am Rabbi Yochanan Amakra, Vayasas Ya Mutzak Eser Ba'ama Misfaso Atzfaso, Ogul Saviv, V'chamesh Ba'ama Komaso, V'kav Shloshim Ba'ama Yisovo so saviv. So what does the pasuk say? Shlomo Melch is building his Yamshel Shlomo, his swimming pool or his mikveh, whatever you want to call it, and it gives the dimensions of the pool, and it says that the diameter is 10 amos, and then it says that the kav shloshim ba'ama yisov also saviv, that it's a 30 amos circumference around. So it's a circular pool, 30 amos of circumference, 10 amos of diameter. There you have it. It's exactly a 3-to-1 ratio. So obviously all the achronim ask the kasha that it's wrong. Pi is not 3. Pi is a little more than 3. It's 3.14, and even that's not exactly accurate. It's a little more. It's a little more than that. So how do you how can we say that pi equals 3? So some of the achronim point out. I think Shlomo Levilna in the back of the Gemara, if I recall correctly, I didn't get a chance to look it up again. But so the Archa Shulchan I think points out as well that the whole Gemara is very strange. What do you mean minahani mili? How do I know that pi is 3? Take anything round and take a tape measure and measure it, and you'll see that pi is 3. Yeah, what do you mean? How do I know the sky is blue? Look at it, and you see it's blue. This is an observable reality. What do you mean? How do I know? So clearly, the Achronim point out, the Gemara knew that pi wasn't exactly 3. What the Gemara was asking is, how do I know that you're allowed to, for halachic purposes, and for the sake of doing measurements, that we're allowed to assume pi is 3, that we're allowed to be that much off in pi, in terms of assuming, meaning, how big does my kora have to be? If it's round, it only needs to be 3 tefachim in circumference. Then I could assume that that's big enough, that that's ki'ilu, it has 1 tefach in diameter, even though the reality is, when it's exactly 3 tefachim in circumference, it's a little bit less than 1 tefach in diameter. So minani mili, how do I know that the halacha allows me to assume that pi equals 3 for halachic purposes? Ah, there's a pasuk that tells us that way, and that's how we know we're allowed to rely on that lahalacha. So the Gra has a beautiful remez. He says it's clear in the pasuk that the Tanakh was very well aware that pi is not 3. The pasuk that we just quoted describes the kav. When it describes the circumference, it's kav shloshim ba'ama. But there's a kri and a ksiv. Kav is kuvav, and it's kuvav hay in the ksiv. It's read as kav, but it's spelled kava. I think that's the kriya in the ksiv. So The gematria of Kuf Vav is 106. The gematria of Kuf Vav Hey is 111. So he says the ratio of 111 to 106 equals the ratio of 3.14 to 3. So he says if you do the math, it works out exactly. It works to at least the three. I think it works to maybe even more than two digits. It works to a few digits. That it doesn't work all the way, but it's the 111 to 106 ratio is the same ratio as 3.14 to 3. That's a remez in the pasuk. They see the pasuk knew full well what pi really was. So frankly, Gemara, but wait a second, the Yam Shel Shlomo doesn't work out. The Ika Svaso, how are you going to account for the edges of the Yam Shel Shlomo, the rims of the pool? So Amar Papa Svaso Svas Perach Shushan Ksiv Bei, the Ksiv Va'av Yotefach Svaso Usvaso, Pasuk tells us that the width was the Tefach Svaso Kamasi Svas Kos Perach Shoshan Alpayim Bas Yochil. So it describes that the pool had a very, very thin edge. It came to like a paper thin edge at the top, and therefore you don't have to cheshbin the svas of the pool, the edges of the pool of Shlomo. And it also describes that it was able to hold 2,000 bas, a certain measurement. So vayika mashuhu. So it says, yeah, but still there's a mashuhu of the edge. I mean, no matter how dark, no matter how thin it is, it's still a mashu. So kikachashiv mika vayika chashiv. Now, when we discuss the circumference, we're not measuring the circumference from outside the walls of the pool. We're measuring the circumference from inside. So Tanya Rabbi Chia, Yam Shel Shlomo Yemachzik Me'ev Chamisha Mikvatara. The Yam Shel Shlomo could hold 150 mikvaos, meaning that's how much water it had. It would have been able to hold the amount of water that you could fill 150 mikvaos with. So Michli Mikvah Kamahavi Arba'im Sa. How big is a mikvah? Mikvah is 40 sa. Kedatanya Verachas Psar B'Mayim V'Mei Mikvah. Kol B'Sar B'Mayim Shekol Gufo Mayim Shekol Gufo Ola Behen. How much water does a mikvah need? Enough water that a person's entire body could fit into it. The kamahain, how much space do you need for a person's entire body? Amal ama berum shalosh amos, one ama by one ama with a height of 3 amos. V'shiru chacham me mikvah arba'im sa. The chacham figured out that 40s that me mikvah is 40 sa. Kama havalu chamish meyer garmidi letlas meya meya lemeya chamishin lemeya v'chamishin chamishin ba'arba meya v'chamishin sagya. I'm sorry, ba'arba. Mayav Chamishin, where is it? Yeah, Ba'arba. Mayav Chamishin Sagya. So it does the cheshbon to try to figure out how we can fit 150. What do we say? It could fit 150 mikvaos tara in it. So when you do the cheshbon, I'm not going to be able to do it right now on the fly. But you do the cheshbon, it fits 150 mikvaos. So hani mili birubua yam shas shlomo agul haya. Says Mar, but that's if it's squared. The yam shas shlomo is round. So michti kama maruba yasra leigul. What's the difference between square and round? Reveal. Revia, it's 1/4 of a difference. So la arba mea, mea la mea, esrim v'chamisha. How does this work? La arba. I just completely lost it. La arba mea mea la mea. So if you have to take 400, so you take 100 for one la mea esrim v'chamisha. For 25, hani meyav esrim chamisha avalu. So that would only be 125. So Tani Ram Bar Yecheskel Yamcha Asa Shlomo Shalosh Amos Tatonos Mruvaos Ushtayim Elyonos Agulos. The Yamcha Asa Shlomo, the bottom 3 amos were squared. The top 2 amos, it was 5 amos deep. The top 2 amos were rounded. So Nihid De Ibchol Amatz Amrit Desfaso Agul Ksiv. You can't say the opposite. You can't say that the top part was squared, the bottom part was round, because it says that the edge was round. Ela ema chada chada. Ela ema chada. Lo sal kadai tuchtuchsiv al payim bas yachil. Bas kamehavya shlosh sin. How much is in a bas? A bas has 3 sin. The bas has 3 sin. We learn that because the pasuk says that meiser habas. Meiser habas minakora aseres habatim. that the Havilu Shisa Alpe Garyove Vaksiv Machzik Batim Shlosha Salafim. Aye, but doesn't it also say that it could hold 3,000 bas, not 2,000 bas? Hahulu Gocha. That's if you put in a dry measure, it could hold 3,000 bas. Because when you put in dry things in a kli that normally holds liquid, you could heap it up over the edge of the pool. Amrabai Shmamina Hagucha Tosavi. So he says what you see from there is that the Godesh, that when you do a heaping measurement in something that's that normally holds liquid, that the dry measure will be 1/3 larger than the wet measure. 1/3 really means 50%. Right, because it was 2,000, it was 3,000, so it's a shlush milavar. V'utnan nami, shidu tevo migdol, kaver sakasha, kaver sakonim, ubor, svin alexandris, af pishesh en shulayim, in maksikos, arbaim sa'a belach, shen kurayim biyavesh, tahorin. Even though they hold 40 sa'a of lach, which is kurayim biyavesh, which is two kor of yavesh, it's tahor. But the point is that ratio is intact. The ratio of the 50% more, that something could hold dry than it could hold moist. Okay, look at the pictures. You'll see how it could fit the 150 amos. Says the Mishnah, the 150 mikvahs. Says the Mishnah, l'chayin sha'amru govan asar tefachim v'rachvan v'ovian kolshu. When we talk about a lechi, the lechi needs to be 10 tefachim high. It has to be wide, just a kolshu. Rav Yossi omer rechavan gimel tefachim. Rav Yossi says no, it actually needs to be 3 tefachim wide. So l'chayin sha'amru v'chulei v'ematnan stomach Rav Lazar dam l'chayin bi'inan. So wait a second. The Mishnah says l'chayin multiple lechis. We had a machlokas. What you need? Do you need a lechi and a korah like Beishamai lechi, or a korah like Beisilel, or multiple lechis like Rav Lazar? So it sounds like Armish is assuming like Rav Lazar. Lo, my lechiayin lechiayin di alma. No, when we say lechis, we mean lechis in general in mavuos. Doesn't mean that you need multiple lechis in a single mavui. Ihachi korinami. So nisni koros. So frak the gemara. But then why does the Mishnah say korah? It should say koros. If we're talking about di alma, we're talking about in general over mavuos. So it should say koros. So my koros. Koros di alma, and you'll say koros means koros di alma. So says we're in a hachi kamar. Also lechi and shenechlu ben Rav Lazar v'chamim govan asar tefachim. Those lechis that Rav Lazar v'chamim disagree about, they're meaning we're not paskening. We're saying referring back to that machlokas where there's a machlokas whether you need multiple lechis, but even within that you have to discuss what a lechi means. What's the measurement of a lechi? So they need to be 10 tefachim tall. That's the point of our mission. It's not about how many lechis. V'rochman v'ovian kol shu, and the width has to be only kol shu. V'kama kol shu. How much is a kolshu? Meaning, is a kolshu mamish kolshu? Tanya Rebbe Chiya, afilu kuchot asarvel. Even the width of the string of a coat. Tana asa lechi lechatzi mavui, ein lo lechatzi mavui. Let's say a person places the lechi in a very strange way. He puts it not by the entranceway of the mavui, but halfway through the depth of the mavui, just plops the lechi down. So that will work as to be able to carry in the back half of the mavui, and anything that's behind where that lechi is. So says Mar Pshita, of course it will. Why wouldn't it work? Ela'ema yesh lo chatzi mavui. So, no, the way you should say it is that yesh lo chatzi, meaning, not of course it will work. Of course, ein lo ela chatzi mavui. Of course you can't carry in the other half past the lechi. So Gemara says, okay, change the girsa. Yesh lo chatzi mavui. The chiddush is not that you're not allowed to carry past it, but that you are allowed to carry up until it. So says Gemara, hanami pshita. That's also obvious that you're allowed to carry up until that lechi. So mal detema lechus dilma asa lishtamushe bekule. I might have thought that you might come to carry in the whole thing. Come Hashemullah, and therefore comes tell me that even though the lechi is not optimally placed, it's placed only halfway through the mavui, that's good enough for that back half of the mavui. And we're not worried that you're going to carry in the front half as well. If a person makes a lechi for a mavui and he raises it three tefachim off the ground, or he moves it three tefachim off of the wall, lo asav lo klum, that lechi is completely invalid. Aye, but there's a machlokas what lavud is. We generally hold lavud is three tefachim, and that would be great according to what we just said. But what about according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel that holds you have up until four tefachim for lavud? So I feel Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel da amar amrin lavud da amar amrin lavud hani mili lemala av lemata. That would only be even Rav Shimon Liel holds that we would say up until four tefachim of lavud. That would only be when it's lamala, but when it's lamata, where it practically gedim could walk right through, small animals will be able to fit right through. So we're not going to say lavud. Rabbi Yossi Amar Rechavan Gimel Tefachim. Rabbi Yossi said that they need to be three tefachim wide. That each lechi needs to be three tefachim wide. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Dom Shmuel, Ein Alach Rabbi Yossi, Lo Bihilmi, V'Lo B'Lachia. Yayin. There are two machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. The first one is our machlokes in the Mishnah, whether lechi only needs to be a kolshu or it needs to be three tefachim wide. The second machlokes is, are you allowed to make brine on Shabbos? Nothing to do with anything. It's just a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. So he says, look, we're not going to pass like Rabbi Yossi, not by Hilmi and not by lechis. So Amar Le Rav Huna Bar Chinin, Rabbi Hilmi Amrathan, Velechiyai Lo Amrathan. No, you told us by Hilmi not to paskin, but not by lechis. By lechis, you never said that. Maisha Behilmi de Pligi Rabban Alay, Lechiyai Nami, Pligi Rabban Alay. Well, Alay, well, if we're not going to paskin like him by Hilmi because the Rabbanan disagree, and the Rabbanan are the majority, so we shouldn't paskin like him by lechis either, because the Rabbanan disagree, and the Rabbanan are the majority. Amalei Shaini Lechi and Mishum Dekai Rebbe Kavasei. Now, by Lechi, it's different because Rebbe holds like him. And if Rebbe holds like him, then that carries some weight. Okay, we're out of time. We'll pick up more about Rabbi Yossi, Bez Hashem, tomorrow.